Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the LEGIONPODCAST. I am Murray, and this week I am an officer of artistry.
Nice.
Yes. Alongside River, taking in some terrific reactions. Yahoo! This weekend, we had our first pottery sale in like...
I totally lost you after River.
Oh, alongside River, taking in some terrific reactions. Yahoo.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we had our first pottery show in a year and a half. Who knows?
Wow.
It's been so long. But it was great. We were down in Guelph. We were right on the whatever river that is in Royal City Park. Royal Park. Is that the Speed River?
It is likely the Speed, yes. Oh, so you mean like the park near the boathouse?
Yes, the park near the boathouse.
Yeah, that is the Mighty Speed.
Yeah.
And
maybe overselling it.
that stems back to my university days, where my neighbor would talk about how he was going to go fishing on the banks of the Mighty Speed, and it just sounded much better that way.
Absolutely, I know, it was beautiful. It's such a beautiful park, and
it really is. Yeah, the kids do a lot of Cub stuff there, and certainly when we send them off to the in-laws, we'll often, you know, ride our bikes down there and stop off and grab a coffee and sit by the banks, because it's a great spot.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and it was great. We had Guelph is wonderful for supporting their artists, so there were a ton of people that came out. Saturday
was
gorgeous. Sunday it was rainy, sort of like just drizzly, but people still came out. It was wonderful. So it was wonderful to be able to get out there and hang out with other artists and see people and sell stuff. That was a bonus too. So it was lovely.
Nice to be able to get that stuff out there again, right? And just interacting with people is nice.
I know. It was so weird. There was no like flat screen in between us, and they had like three dimensions, and it was so weird.
They didn't freeze every couple of minutes.
They didn't freeze up. There was no lagging between their words. It was amazing.
Incredible.
So that is me.
That is fantastic. Well, folks, I'm Paul French, and I am the chief navigational officer of Camper.
All right.
You know, it's coffee and meals prepared easily, right? And this was the biggest thing, was just having, usually our normal procedure has been, you know, okay, first person up gets out of the tent and has to go through the car and get the gas stove out. Then you got to put it together and pop the the propane tank on it and get that. And then, oh God, where did we put the matches? Okay. Oh, there they are. Okay. and it's just this lengthy process to get to waiting forever to boil the kettle. Well, with this one, we just plugged our kettle in.
That is wonderful.
It was our first time with the camper, which was, kind of one of those things where it's like, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we ensure that this wasn't a tremendous waste of money. And it was not. It was just amazing. And like literally, you know, waking up in there and looking towards the end, and it's like, wow, the kids are really far away.
That's wonderful.
Inside the thing. And we had a day, one of the nights where it was pretty rainy, but that's okay. You know, it's not like, usually we'd get, if it happened when we're tent camping, it's like, oh, into the tent and we all look at the ceiling. I guess we're going to bed early.
Yeah, totally.
And so this time we got to watch movies, but, you know, play cards and, you know, sit at the table. And so, yes, it was kind of neat having a cottage that we pulled behind us.
It's such a different experience. I mean, I like camping. Totally. But
oh, yeah, same.
I don't like camping in the rain.
No, and it was, yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things where it's just that much easier to deal with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of work to camping. Like when you've got family and kids, and it's one thing to just grab a tent and go out and camp, but when you have to plan for other bodies and peoples, and
the tear down is so much easier too, because it's like, okay, so let's decide what's, you know, and this time it took us a little bit longer just because we're like, so maybe this thing will just live in the camper.
Yeah.
And then we don't have to worry about it. And it's like, oh, let's pack a few of these things in here. But honestly, our pack up time was so much quicker as well, because it's such a, you know, like, you know, a tent, you know, you gotta like, oh, we gotta tilt it this way to get rid of the dirt, and that way, you know, and all the stuff to do with that. No, now, oh gosh, we didn't fold it in exact thirds, and that's gonna take us forever.
No kidding. Yeah. Yeah, that was the one drawback to the show, because it was rainy yesterday when we were packing up. The canopy gets packed up wet, and so today you have to unpack the canopy and redo it all open and let it dry, and then pack it back up again when it's dry.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's just a small price to pay.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, that is awesome. Sounds like we both had a good weekend.
It was lovely, lovely, lovely. However, nice. FaZe is not having a good weekend.
It does look bad for her, doesn't it? It looks like a bunch of knives and daggers and syringes, and looks like a hot dog thing and test tubes. I mean, what's going on?
It's gotta suck when your lunch gets mixed in with your
with your weaponry.
Yeah, that's right. Where's the hot dog? Oh, right, it's beside the syringe.
Exactly. So I note that this cover is by Barry Kitson. And this issue, is this the one where the credits end up in the letters column?
Yeah, the credits are at the very, very end in the letters box, because they must have been running low on time. So the editor says, "Hey gang, due to an unfortunate faux pas on our part, we forgot to include a credit box at the start of this issue. So for the record, it was written by Barry Kitson, inked by Robin Smith and Romeo Tangau, colored by Bernie Miro, lettered by Gaspar, edited by Dan Raspler, with assists by yours truly," and that is probably Frank Parisi.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes.
I think that's who it is. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they don't mention it, but I'm assuming Barry is doing the pencils as well.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I've wondered over the last few issues if it's largely sort of a bit looser, where, sort of looser pencils.
Sure.
Because it doesn't, the layouts feel the same. The actual look of itself seems a little more, for lack of a better term, imagey.
Yeah, you can see where it's Kitson, but then there are times when it's less Kitson-y.
Yeah.
Like some of the real Doc's faces are like, oh, that's.
And that's where it usually is with Kitson, right? Like his faces are very, it's very distinctive. Like, you know, that's usually your, like, oh, is this Kitson? Look at the faces. Yep.
Yeah.
That's Kitson. Yep. You know, that's sort of one of his areas of distinction.
Yeah. And,
So we start this one off with Lady Quark and Captain Underpants. No, Captain Comet. Looks like a whole lot of mechanical stuff around them, you know. So the narration says, "I've been the ghost in the machine, the unseen traveler through the neural pathways of Adam Blake's mind. My metamorphosis is at hand. Here she is now." And, you know, Lady Quark is kind of in his thrall, as it were. Mm-hmm. "No longer the passive observer in my final stage of life. I revel in the unbounded joy of locomotion and physical control. For this precious few moments before I surrender my existence to procreate with my new host, Captain Comet's being is mine to command. The pleasure of physical presence is intoxicating. But procreation has a certain appeal all its own. Another link must be forged in the chain of my actuality." And Docs is on the ground saying, "Ribs broken. The alien seems to have forgotten me for the moment."
Yeah, alien can talk, man. Alien can talk.
Yeah.
He's a wordy beast.
Comet says, "The energy bridge is almost complete between us." And Docs is looking over at Mary Jane, says, "Must try to reach Mary Jane. Her tests on Comet might hold a clue how to defeat whatever is possessing him. For many weeks, I have sought to prepare you for this moment," he says to Lady Quark. And Doc's saying, "Every movement is agony." And Comet says, "Even while we were prisoners of Dagon Ra, I knew you would be perfect host to my successor. Your vast powers make you as safe a vessel as the universe might provide." And Docs notes that Mary Jane is badly hurt, so she's not likely to be that helpful.
Yeah, she's out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Telepath is outside the metal lab, and he reaches into Docs's mind and says, "I lost your thought patterns completely for a time there. Some kind of psi creature has possessed Comet. It must have been blocking your powers when I was too close to him." He says, Doc thinks, "Go into Mary Jane's mind. I need to know everything she discovered about Comet when she was searching for the cause of his headaches." "But she's unconscious. I'd be violating her privacy." "See through my eyes, telepath. If we don't act, Lady Quark's going to have more than her privacy violated." Oh, my.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Telepath says, "I see your point. I'll do it." And he says, "I have the memories. They don't make much sense to me. I'll pass them on to you directly." And Doc says, "Just get on with it." It's interesting. I think maybe there may be a way. Perhaps there may be a way of stopping this creature. Telepath, I need you to get Gary Bertrand. What?
Garv.
Garv.
Although Gary Bertrand would be a great alias for him.
that's Garv's secret identity. He pops a pair of glasses on and he's like, "Gary Bertrand, attorney at law."
Absolutely.
Oh, good grief. Get Garv.
Bertrand Dibb.
Yes. Yes, not Gary Bertrand. Lobo and FaZe here as soon as possible. See, that's the law firm.
Yeah.
Bertrand Dibb, Lobo and FaZe.
Oh, now that would be a good Elseworlds. Forget about bloodlines.
Exactly. You're just waiting for Docs to do the Rosalind Shea down the elevator.
Down the elevator shaft. Out into space. Whoosh.
All right. So
it wouldn't be LA Law, it would be LALEGION. Just throw a few more letters in there.
Right? There we go. There we go, with Harry Hamlin as Docs.
Oh my gosh. Does that make Lisa Rinna Lady Quark?
I think it does, because what's her name? Lori Partridge would be FaZe. So, oh yeah.
Oh boy. Alrighty, that's going to take us down a whole different wormhole.
It's a big tangent there. All right, so but that's okay, because Telepath, he's on it.
Yeah.
You know, and he seems to know who Gary Bertrand is. So Beck says an incredible amount of power is being funneled into the Medilab. But we're keeping up communications with the fleet, and life support seems steady for now. And Faye says, what stage is the evacuation reached? We're almost there. Thanks to Arca Prime's very predictable weather patterns, we've beaten the rains by hours in most areas. And Faye says, well, that's great. It's a shame we couldn't save any of the animal life. People had to come first. I doubt we'll even get all of them. There's tons of biomatter in the hold for Mary Jane to regrow most of the species. And Faye says, we'll do fine. I think Faye, you're needed at the med lab. Garen? Go on. The last ships are leaving now. Power loss from the med lab is our most immediate problem. Okay, tell Docs I'm on my way. And then we switch out to Hal Jordan.
That's right. Guest star's earning his pay.
Absolutely. You know, he's not going to be around to kick around for that much longer. So
that's right.
Yeah. He says, I've performed miracles with this power ring. I've witnessed the most fantastic wonders the universe has to offer. But seeing a fleet just like this assembled in just a few hours from hundreds of different alien worlds reaffirms my faith in real miracles. There may be hope for the universe yet. And until
Co-City and stuff, you know.
Well, there's that too, but until you know, all of a sudden Lobo sort of comes up behind him on his hog. Out of my way, you fragging dweeb. I'm on a mission from Docs. What, are you crazy? If you'd knocked me unconscious, all the refugees in my dome would have been left to die in space. Damn shame I missed you then. I'll do better on the return trip. Ciao. And off he goes. And Hal says, thinks that maniac, when this is over, he'll need to be taught to respect Green Lanterns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll That'll go over well.
How at home creatures alike Lobo and Green Lantern are amongst the stars. Barely a handful of Argites had ever left our planet before today. Now all our futures must lie in space. We believed our world was the jewel in the spot, in the crown of creation, that we would never desire any other home. Now all its beauty is lost, and it is nothing more than a lifeless bauble. All that remains of our hopes is despair. Our dreams have turned to darkness. Arga Prime is in exile. And Strata says, despair isn't the answer. The only way to carry on is to build new dreams from the ruins of old. Besides, with Mary Jane's knowledge of genetic engineering, she'll be able to recreate most of what has been lost. They won't be the same, says the Argite. He says, just as my people's lives can never be the same. And Lydia says, tragedies cannot be undone. That is the nature of tragedy. The only course is to carry on and strive to improve the present and future. And Strata says, our lives are given worth not by the circumstances in which they are lived, but by the way we choose to live them. Your people may not have reached an ending, simply a crossroads. And anyway, so Stealth is saying, we better hurry. Those clouds look menacing. And the captain says, I know, but we must take as many as we can. We're the last ship to be leaving. And back of the line, wide eye, your days of pushing in front of us are over. Now we're taking priority. No, my vial. That's enough, says Stealth. Break it up now. The ship leaves in 10 minutes. Anyone who jeopardizes that stays behind. Now move it. Can I help you? No, I don't need your help. I just dropped my medicine. I'm fine now. Okay, Captain, looks like we got all of them. Let's hightail it off this planet. with pleasure, and off they go. They swoosh away.
Mm-hmm. Medicine. I doubt it.
Mm-hmm. Docs, everyone you wanted is here in the corridor outside the Metalab. Get in here fast. I don't think we have much time. Use whatever force you must to separate Comet and Quark. Well, hallelujah, says Lobo. Forget it, Lobo. No more force than necessary. I'll be watching you. And in they go.
That's right. Kablam.
Lobo immediately goes and tackles Captain Comet. Hands off, Vomit. Time to deal with the main man. Let's boogie. I had hoped to avoid conflict with the other Legionnaires. I know how powerful they are. But if my last moments of existence are to be spent in violence to protect my successors, so be it. Garv, get Mary Jane to a sickbay, fast. You two, help Lobo. And Lady Quark, forget her for now.
Oh, that's not going to go over well.
Nope.
I mean, she's in no position to
yet
be aware of it. But.
Yeah. Yikes. Lobo gets thrown. I don't need your fragging help. And what's this guy's name again? This is
that would be Bertrand.
This would be Bertrand. There we go. Mm-hmm. So Gary Bertrand says, I wouldn't want to contradict you, sir, but circumstances appear otherwise. Pow! And he knocks down Comet. And just keep Comet away from Quark at all costs. And Comet says, I cannot allow you to stop me. I have observed Bertrand Dib very carefully. He's almost impervious. It makes him careless. And Captain Comet's own mental powers probably could not harm him. Boosted by my own, they are more than adequate. And down goes Gary Bertrand.
We don't get enough ooks in comics.
Right,
these
I was
days.
Thinking that too. Yeah.
I like a good ook.
Absolutely. Captain, I don't know what's possessing you, says FaZe, but you must fight its control. You're hurting your friends. Mary Jane is critically injured. FaZe, she's a little threat to me. A continual telekinetic bombardment will keep her insubstantial and therefore inconsequential. This is where we basically get what we saw on the cover.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and I have no real desire to harm them. They're only trying to protect their own, as am I. Victory is mine. And Lobo is standing over Lady Quark and says, you really think you could take out the main man? Well, if you want Whitey here, you still got to go through me. As you wish. And he comes flying at him. Having known the thrill of corporeality, it saddens me to deprive others of such a gift. Ugh, this must be called pain. What they call pain, thinks Gary Bertrand. I don't think I like it. Get ready to greet your entrails, weasel, says Lobo, as if that was in question.
Yeah.
And Chief Doc, Garv has arrived at Medbay 2. He thinks she'll be all right. Yow, bam. What was that? Lobo battling Comet. They'll tear the ship apart. I have to stop whatever's possessing Comet before that happens. Come on, we have to get to the medical storage unit, fast. But what's in all the crates? Basic biomatter. Mary Jane plans to start genetic reproduction of the Arga Prime flora and fauna to feed the refugees. Now be quiet, I need to work. Somehow the alien is leeching over 87% of the ship's energy output. But why? Comet's boosted condition doesn't require nearly that much power, unless the new life it wants to introduce into Quark is to be sustained by this energy. No, not sustained by the energy, created by it. A sentient energy creature, but how to capture it? I hear we're in trouble, says Stealth. Stealth, of course. Does the genetics lab contain a record of Lady Quark's DNA pattern? It should. Good, help me with this. Where do you want to go with it? The genetics lab, obviously. And tell Garv to meet us there. Whatever you say, says Telepath. And meanwhile, Lobo and Comet are still fighting it out. Yeah, putting up a good fight, Vomit, but no way you're last into the bell. Mindless, irrational. I'll see you dead. And he throws off Lobo. Not bad, you know. I'm actually beginning to like you for a change. Of course, that ain't going to stop me ripping your throat out and using your windpipe as a pea shooter. It's getting worse. The ship can't take much more of this, says Beck. Power's down to 11%. Life support will fail at 9%. Lobo's battle rage feeds his strength. I must finish him quickly. And Faye says, Comet's so engrossed, he's dropped his attack on me. Might be my only chance to move Tashana to safety. You forced the conflict, says Comet. Not I. All I need is, we hear a voice, what you need is a good beating. And crack, Gary Bertrand, not messing around. You're a fool, Bertrand, and you are no match for me. You're right, he's a moron, but he's learning fast. Lobo hits him again, and it says, foolish to confront him physically. When Comet's telekinesis is at my disposal, and he starts throwing stuff at him and stabs him with one of them. Hey, you cheating bastard. I do what I must. And I must survive. I must survive. You must. Well, why didn't you say so? Geek. And and again, they continue fighting. Excellent. We're in time. Faze, think back. Do you recall how you stopped Strata from killing Lydia? Of course, by partially materializing inside her. It nearly killed us both. I need you to do the same to Comet. The feedback you cause should force the alien from its host and enable us to trap it once and for all. Garv, I trust the biomatter has been encoded with DNA? Yep. Meet the new Lady Quark. What? And it's a big, it looks like a big pill in a, you know.
Yeah,
like
a big, yeah, giant, giant.
Big contact C tablet.
Yeah, with a belt.
Yeah. Doc says, theoretically, if we separate the energy creature from its host, we will have rendered it sightless. But as it must have some system of locating its future host, in this case, Lady Quark, we should be able to intercept it. The biomatter Garv is holding has been encoded with Quark's DNA and should completely fool the alien. Instead of possessing our most powerful legionnaire, the alien will find itself in control of a tube of organic sludge. Theoretically, says Faze. Great. And here goes contact and wham. Success. The creature is isolated. What about Faze and Lobo? Forget them. Concentrate on the energy form. When it moves toward Quark's body, throw the biomatter. It's moving. Here goes. And Garv throws it. At last, consummation. It worked, sucked up the energy like a sponge. Just as I planned, it's trapped. And no sensory input, not even a life form. And it cracks through the stuff. Docs, did you plan this too? Of course not. I had no idea the alien could animate biomatter. It has no structure. It doesn't have any muscles, organs. It can't move. And we see this creature that is broken out of the thing. I cannot sense a host consciousness. I am one with matter. And he's like, you have murdered me. And Doc says, fascinating. While Garv is like, gross.
Yeah, it's like a devilfish crossed with a swamp thing crossed with.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not
Plato.
It crossed with like Seth Brundle at the end of The Fly.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, one giant blob of yuck.
It's not good. No. Mm-hmm. And so next issue, The Destiny of Arga Prime and Lobo versus Green Lantern. Yow.
Arga Prime, that's the story that just won't end.
Right?
Which is fine.
Totally. I mean, it's been interesting, and they've kind of told a bunch of different types of stories with it.
Yeah.
Which has been interesting. And as with many things in this title, I had forgotten all about that.
Yeah. The only thing I remembered was that the Arga Prime story took a lot longer than I thought it would. Yeah. I remember it being a long story, but I didn't remember that there were all these other elements that wove into it, right? So I had forgotten all about the Captain Comet reveal. And that it tied it. Well, not that it tied into the Arga Prime story, but that it was part of the story anyway.
That it's happening at the same time. So there we go.
Yes.
So we had some Kitson, we had some Smith, we had some Tangal, and they got to draw all kinds of fun stuff, including a big old Lobo and Captain Comet slugfest.
Yes. And next issue, Green Lantern gets to duke it out.
Right?
Too.
Yeah. So there we go. Sorry, sitting on my charger here. That's uncomfortable. Yeah, so there we have it. I think I might actually have some feedback.
Leo, I'm just scanning the letters pages, and there's nothing really exciting in there. Nope, nothing exciting.
All right. Maybe I was wrong.
No worries.
Sometimes it's confusing. Although, here's something. Back and forth with Alan Williams on a couple of other matters. And he said that he's been enjoying the show. And he says, you, Murray, and Al have got me reading LEGION now.
That's
a beautiful thing. I love to hear that. And glad you're enjoying the show, Alan.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's that simple, folks. All you need to do to send us feedback is to send it out to Legion of Substitute Podcasters at gmail.com. Leave us a message on the Facebook group, which is found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. Or head over to the website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, where you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And right now we've been getting a few spam bots on the on the old...
Great, some African princes.
Oh, yeah, you know. They're... but it's okay. I'm going to hold on to some money for them. And they're going to pay me handsomely
excellent.
Afterward. So
excellent. Perfect.
It's all good. It's all good. Anyway, that's all I got.
Me too. I think that's it. We will see y'all next. W-E-E-K.
L-A-T-E-R.
And then this is where Al would jump in with a string of many, 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 many letters.
None of which make any sense.
No. But since he's off in deep space, the letters would really not make sense because they'd be alien letters.
There you go. It'd be interlock, and it's like, oh, damn it, where'd I put that? Never mind.
Where's my translator?